Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to
greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
The children laugh, the old ones laugh. The newborn cry, the elders weep. The knowledge of infants and elders, separated only by years. Adulthood lost to growing up fear, the only security being insecurity, changing crying to weeping. The wisdom of infants and elders, crying and laughing, weeping and laughing. Songs in the beginning, sung in the end. Endure, the people cry out. Tears of anger, tears of sorrow, flowing, giving birth to resistance. Young ones to remember. Struggle, for the people cry out. Tears of happiness, tears of joy. Washing the pain, cleaning the spirit, giving strength. The generations remembering the past to rebuild the future. For weeping is another way of laughing, and resisting and outlasting the enemy. Living in reality, calling us Red Indians, we have been the colors on a chameleon's back, changing with time, altering the larger pattern, surviving genocide because we have to. Living in reality, we are targets of your unfairness. With warriors for targets, you create your own destruction. This is how we bring you down, target by target. You wound yourself. Using your greed, we watch your spirit fade. Living in reality, we can endure your cages, your bullets, your lies, your confusion. We know you have destroyed your peace. Living in reality, you only exist. Diablo Canyon. Today I challenged the nukes. The soldiers of the state placed me in captivity, or so they thought. They bound my wrists in their plastic handcuffs, surrounding me with their plastic minds and faces. They ridiculed me, but I could see through to the ridicule they brought on themselves. They told me, squat over there by the trash. They left a soldier to guard me. I was the Viet Cong. I was Crazy Horse. Little did they understand. Squatting down in the earth, they placed me with my power to laugh at their righteous wrong. Their sneers and their taunts gave me clarity to see their powerlessness. It was in the way they dressed and in the way they acted. They viewed me as an enemy, a threat to their rationalizations. I felt pity for them, knowing they will never be free. I was their captain, but my heart was racing through the generations, the memories of eternity. I was beyond their reach. I would be brought to the internment camp to share my time with allies. The last time I saw them, they were standing in their 12-hour shifts, addicted to their chain of command, waiting to be told what to do, forgetting about me, thinking I was just another protester they were finished with. Never understanding, I am not finished with them, for I am the resistance, and as always, I will return. Took the times we didn't care about living to learn survivors survive whether they want or not. It took the pain, the grief, and the dying to remember what gets forgotten in the living. It took the lessons of 1,000 generations to get through the time of yesterday. It took the joyful songs of laughter to last beyond today into tomorrow. It took the fragrance of a woman's touch to realize brothers and sisters are never alone. It took the joining of earth and sky to create, centering the universe. For Ronald America, this time I almost wanted to believe you when you said it would be all right. You wanted to end the suffering, and the deliberateness of the wrongs were only in my imagination. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you implied the times of sorrow were buried in the past. Never would we have to worry about shadows and memories clinging and draining the strength from our souls. This time I almost wanted to believe you when you spoke of peace and love and caring and duty and God and destiny. But somehow the death in your eyes and your bombs and your taxes and your greed and your facelift told me. This time I cannot afford to believe you. Industrial slave, capitalist and communist imperialist, smiling with false faces, beckoning us with their lies about progress, wanting us to enjoy the rape of earth and our minds. Industrial slave, fork-tongued legalistic contract chains, turning our visions to technologic nightmares. National security war makers desecrating the natural world, and God still trying to get over what you've done to his boy. Industrial slave, material bound, law and order, religious salvation, individually alone, industrial slave. Without earth there is no heaven, streets of gold, angels' wings, eternal life, corporate right, nuclear regimes maximizing profit, eating identities, plundering natural allies as though earth is dead, allowing religious right collection plate tributes to church and state, with Christ still hanging from the cross, echoing industrial war cries, warring against body and soul, attacking spirit, lying to enslave with an illusion about freedom. Without earth, there is no heaven. earth and sky, universal power, life energy's creative flow, in which we are a pattern to keep balance, harmony, a gift, an appreciation to enjoy. Honor life. Without earth, there is no heaven.
From Dakota singer, songwriter, poet, and Native American activist brother John Trudell. Their classic 1983 song was entitled Living in Reality. Hey, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. In today's broadcast, we are very honored to share a visit with my friend, Mr. Robert Graygrass. Robert is a well-respected actor, storyteller, and wellness counselor. He is one of the finest American Indian playwrights. Robert's native theater, Ixchiwikasa, has performed nationally and internationally. Theater Ixchiwikasa description in Robert's brochure states, and I quote, Ixchiwikasa is Lakota for common man. In performance, I combine drumming, singing, ritual, poetry, and stories that guide the audience from natural law before the creation of Turtle Island to life on and off the reservation today. Native American heritage includes great thinkers, statesmen and women, warriors, and common people unknown to mainstream America. I founded Theater Ixchiwikasa to present the humor, pathos, genius, and the philosophical reality of Native people as a part of world philosophy, unquote. Robert's production company, D. White Dog Productions, has two acclaimed stage performances. They include Walking on Turtle Island and Ghost Lands of an Urban Indian. Both of these wonderful theater performances takes the audience through a variety of characters, giving a view of Native America. His plays are powerful, original masterpieces. I encourage all of our Wolf Mountain Native Radio listeners to attend his theater whenever possible. His website, www.robertgraygrass.org, provides a calendar of his performance schedule. In addition to his extensive theater, TV, and film credentials, Mr. Graygrass's school programs provide students with an authentic view of both historical and contemporary Native life. As a Native American educator myself, I recommend his school presentations and classroom workshops. As longtime listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, we here at Yat Kiddushi Native Center have always been concerned about the health and well-being of indigenous peoples, especially since many of our native communities continue to suffer from alcohol, substance abuse, and other social traumas. Many of our broadcasts have focused on health and wellness. Robert Graygrass is likewise concerned and involved with this important work. He is a trained drug and alcohol counselor with many years of experience. His residencies, workshops, in camps and treatment centers has helped many. We are very grateful for his work in this important area. I first had the honor to meet Robert Graygrass at a historic conference in Powwow sponsored by Radio for Peace International in 1992. The gathering was entitled Peace in the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. This event brought many indigenous and non-native people together from different parts of the world in order to dialogue on important cultural and environmental issues. Robert shared his Walking on Turtle Island performance at that gathering. We then had the honor 12 years later to meet Mr. Graygrass again when he performed Walking on Turtle Island here in Southwest Florida's venue, Theater Conspiracy. During the week, the 1 week run of his play in Fort Myers, Florida, we were gifted to have Robert visit and stay with us, which allowed us the opportunity to have him here in our studio, as well as visit friends on the Seminole Big Cypress Reservation. It is indeed Yad Kiddushi Native Center's honor to welcome Mr. Robert Greygrass to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Robert Greygrass, I'm Lakota and Salagi and European mixed. My family's from South Dakota and other parts of Turtle Island. Currently living in Oregon, have been for about 24 years. I'm an actor and a storyteller, grandfather, and live on the Red Road in the best way that I can by Lako Wichoha, the Lakota way of being. I've been performing one-man shows and doing storytelling and writing poetry for about 10 years now, and working with teenagers and young people in wellness and sobriety for about 18 years, maybe 19 years.
A lot of the work that you do, from what I've seen in looking at your beautiful brochures and pamphlets, is to a certain extent similar to the work of our own Yad Kiddushi Native Center here. As I mentioned, I teach a course on indigenous cultural history, social, environmental justice at the local Florida Gulf Coast University, where I know you'll be speaking next week, which I'm very glad that you will be there. And I'm always caught between my own mind trying to help our own people improve themselves and kind of detoxify them culturally as well as physically. Also, I'm trying to help educate what I call non-native people about the true cultural history and cultural values that indigenous peoples have throughout the world, because I really believe in this time of the new millennium, here we are in year 2004, that much of the well-being of Mother Earth and the future of all life is going to largely depend upon the so-called mainstream dominant European world's more respect and appreciation of traditional values and knowledge and wisdoms. And so I think educating the public the way you do through theater and through your workshops and speaking presentations is very wonderful. However, my question is this, sir. Do you find it difficult, or is there a fine line between trying to share some of our common values and philosophies and ways of thought, especially with regard to, say, caring for the earth and seven generations, and having Anglo people kind of misunderstand these things and, in a sense, playing with them? I'm bringing up the subject of what I call hobbyists in Indian country, and a lot of New Age people who are kind of, in the last, say, 20 years or so, without naming names, but say, like the Rainbow people, trying to find a new way of living in the world, but in the same way of thought, I find it a little bit disrespectful, where some white people that go to a workshop, and then next week they call themselves a medicine man, or they start charging money for sweat lodge ceremonies or vision quests, or will start kind of modifying Lakota ceremony with their own Anglo thoughts. And I'm by no means saying your workshops in any way advocate that. I'm just bringing up the point that as a native cultural educator like myself, I'm wondering about how do we educate white America or non-native people without necessarily having them later on disrespect our traditional ways and ceremonies?
Boy, that's a complex question. Complex. I think that there are good intentions from many, many people, and the non-Indian world, particularly the white or Caucasian world, what did you call it? That used a different term. The people who are really in that privilege, it tends to be overall white people, male or female, and their privilege is so ingrained in their mind and their heart and their soul, and they're so hungry spiritually that when they come around something that's authentically spiritual and they get a taste of it, then they want to own it. And that's the filter that spiritual things go through, is this ownership. And it's a lot of Christianized influence and industrialized influence that's really just like intrinsic deep inside, and hard for them to unlearn. I like what you said, cultural detox, that people need their own cultural detoxification. As a native person, I always, and I'm a mixed blood person too, so when I'm in certain circles, I step back, I defer to those people who are farther along on the journey or have more oral tradition clout in whatever conference or ceremony or wherever we happen to find ourselves. There are other people that I'll just defer, or I'll offer my help, or I'll say, hey, why don't you talk to him or her, because they have it, within oral tradition there's an understanding of that, not a hierarchy, but
who's knowledgeable,
experienced, well respected as an elder or as a peer of mine, but my similar age, but has far more knowledge and experience. So to get those people to understand how to defer, it takes a lot of effort, and that's part of what I do in my workshops. My new show, Ghostlands of an Urban Indian, has a lot of that in it, a lot of that new age stuff, and people who are kind of airy fairy out there. And there's a whole section, I call it the naming ceremony, and it's a comedy part where, a couple of the lines from that piece are, because I've done a whole setup with my inner white child and my inner Indian child, because I went through counseling and how they had to get in touch with each other. My inner Indian child feeds my inner white child fry bread, and my inner white child balances the checkbook, and they get along real well. But I'm at a ceremony, and here's all this new age stuff, and these new age people tell us their names. I don't catch what they are. But my inner Indian child was at work. He gave him names. He gave him names the Indian way. Like that guy, he must be little bad wind behind him. Too much tofu, brown rice, and wheatgrass juice, And she must be diving dolphin. Dreadlocks, a couple of whale tattoos, and a crystal around her neck big enough to short out my truck if she gets too close. And he must be walks away leaking. A guy so in touch with his inner child, he weeps a lot, all the time. So this full-blood Indian guy walks up, and diving dolphin says, "Hello, my brother, Washte. What is your name, my brother?" And the Indian guy says, "Larry." And it goes on from there. But that's a little sample of, I take it in there, and I kind of break it down and give it some humor for people to look at. What are we doing here? What, as non-Indian people, you're not permitted certain things. And you need to educate yourself of what you are permitted and what you're not permitted. You don't have the blanket privilege you assume you do. And it's very hurtful to Indian people. And it's complex in this time we're in, because Indian people are trying to reclaim power and also trying to be out there publicly and contribute and be recognized.
And share the way we always have with people.
Exactly. And that people of goodwill and that sharing sense has always gotten us in trouble, because this other culture is so avarice-minded and ownership-oriented. They own, it's possession. So it's really complex, really complex. And I know there's been a lot of talk in Indian country this last year about that. And a lot of information came out of South Dakota. And in many ways, I agree with those statements and comments that were made. And in many other ways, I say to those relatives, go easy and don't cut off our nose to spite our face. I really encourage those relatives to not ask the feds to help, that we need to take care of it ourselves, and that it's going to be a slow process, maybe a generation or two. I'm not sure what the exact answer is. I know that when I see that stuff and when I'm nearby it, I just remove myself. I just simply go away. Unless I absolutely can't, then I'll confront it, and I'll try to do some educating in as good a way as I can. And then if they're just plain ignorant, I'll scold them. So, you try to take whatever... I try to take whatever teachings I've got from my elders, my own spiritual understanding, and fuse it with these times we live in to try to help people out.
One of the most important concerns Yakutishi Native Center has, and I voice this a lot in many of our Wolf Mountain Native radio programs, is the importance of respecting indigenous people's spirituality, respecting ceremonies, respecting Native American ways of belief, what in English is called religion. Because, as you know, and I'm sure some of your theater performance expresses, we indigenous peoples of Turtle Island, North America, as well as throughout the world, have really had a major impact from what is now called Christianity, which to me has been and continues to be one of the worst things to have happened to indigenous peoples, and that for over 500 years now, since that colonial pirate Christopher Columbus and subsequent conquistadors and missionaries invaded tribal peoples of the Americas, the church has been a major force of conquest and murder of millions of indigenous peoples throughout the world. Even in modern times, Christian missionaries are still forcing their religion upon tribal communities. Earlier in our conversation, we spoke a bit about the legacy, the trauma, the tragedy of the Christian missionary so-called boarding school era, as example. And I remember when I met you back in 1992 at the Radio for Peace International co-sponsored gathering, Peace on the Planet, Mother Earth, Native Wisdom, Native Rights Conference in Powwow. The issues there were also focused about protecting sacred lands, sacred sites, and of course the impact and role of external missionaries still invading tribal land. Would you share your thoughts about Christianity and what do you think that represents an impact in Indian country?
My first comment is always, poor Jesus. You know, because all Jesus tried to do is live a beautiful medicine man life. Heal his people, help his people. And his people took his words and his life and used him as a political weapon of morality, an industrial weapon of justification. It's tragic. It's tragic what they have done to his teachings. And they've used that. I mean, all these government boarding schools were all run by the Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church and the Methodist Church. Their values have been imposed through violence and fear in the name of God and for your own good. And that's sad. It has that kind of, that Christian influence is so deep in everybody's mind that the cultural detoxification we have to go through is rooted in that. Just here in America, every day, that's not my calendar, that's a Christian calendar. When they had all this Y2K 2000 coming, yada yada, that's a measurement of Christian time. I live by the 19 generations of the sacred Chanupa. That's how I'm measuring time. Yeah, I have to use that calendar, I have to use that clock, but those are all Christian holidays that we all live under all the time. So it's hard to not be resentful, it's hard to not get angry at times. I believe personally I've made my peace with Jesus and Christianity, but I still see that twisted and perverse use that they have of poor Jesus, and they use it against people. The one thing that's really noticeable about Christianity is that it's so individualized, it's about saving the soul of the person and getting that person to heaven, whereas our way of life is about living right here on this earth, 100% accountable and responsible for every step you take. That's, we're not trying for escape to some kind of heaven. There's this world and the spirit world. And in this world, you can live in happiness and health and well-being or not. And in the next world, you get more lessons, you get more teachings. There's song and ceremony and prayer. I mean, I've seen little glimpses of it through my ceremonial practices and fasting and life. So I know that to be so. I told my mother once, I know too much to be a Christian now, Mom, so you're going to have to stop that. Because to me, they're very closed-minded. They get very myopic and very narrow. I feel for Christianity. It's a sad thing that's happened. Too much pain and suffering in the name of God. A long time ago, about 10 years ago, I helped a Catholic priest perform Mass, which just blew my mind, and that's in my new show, Ghostlands, too. I was at a Catholic school doing a residency and a visit and having a lot of good talks and whatnot, and so it was the day before Thanksgiving, and he asked me if I would help him, you know, do a talk and this and that during the liturgy. And I don't know anything about Catholicism, you know, but I was sitting up there at the table with the priest at the altar table, and he asked me to talk, so I talked to the students, and I sang some Lakota prayer songs, and I burned a little sweet grass, had my hair in braids, my eagle fan, and my hand drum, you know. And then he did the liturgy, and he was a very open, broad-minded man. I mean, when he talked with the students, he drew on ideas from all kinds of Buddhism and Taoism and many spiritual concepts. You know, he was about that far from excommunication, you know. But there's a whole piece of him, Father Sean, in my new show, and part of how I came to make my peace with Christianity. It's a long, sad story here in America, what Christianity has done, and I understand a lot of the native people who are angry and resentful toward Christianity. But I wouldn't hang that on Jesus like they hung him on a cross. Because Jesus wanted, he just lived the best he could, you know, and they abused him. I think we're going to see a big evolution spiritually with our generation as we get older, all the people, Christian, Jew, or otherwise, and that the next generation will have an even broader understanding of what true spirituality is. I believe that's happening. We're seeing this tragedy take place in the Middle East of Christianity versus Islam. And somehow Judaism is played in there. I don't quite get that strange relationship between America and Israel. But they're fighting over their God. And there is only one God. There's only one God. The Muslims call him Allah. Jews call him Jehovah or Yahweh. Or, you know, there's all these different names. But there's only one God. And we understand that as indigenous people. And often I see us sitting by the fire, watching these brothers and sisters fighting over God and ideology, and we're sitting here waiting and singing and praying and waiting and singing and praying. And whenever you guys are done causing hurt and pain and suffering in the name of God, you're welcome to come sit at the fire with us. But they're busy in this political ideology of what they think is God and righteousness, and I can't even explain it any longer what they're doing. So I know it's been a really ugly impact here on Turtle Island, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and
Central South America.
All down through there. And you know, you go to native ceremonies and whatnot, and they'll ask some elder to pray, and often they'll say the Lord's Prayer, or they'll say in Jesus' name, Amen. You know, and all I can do is love that grandma or that grandpa as they say their prayer. Thank you, because you're praying for us. Because my Ahunka brother, he's medicine man, the real deal, through the Chanupa and the Lakota ceremonial way. And he said that his father told him in a ceremony one time, the spirits came down, two hands came out of the sky, and they handed him a chanupa and a Christian songbook. And they said, never forget these two. It's about prayer. It's about prayer. And now, I found it significant that it was a Christian songbook, not a Bible, because it's about singing, which is joy and beauty and, what do they say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And we say, Ola Wala Wampi. We sing. So, I hope, as I said, that a true spiritual evolution is taking place in our generation and the next generation to come, and that Christianity can be healed. We got to watch this Middle East mess and do something other than what we're doing there.
Oh, scar yet. Go ahead, but stay.
Music from Robert Ree Cody and Rob Wallace with Will Klipman from Canyon Records CD, Voices Across the Canyon Volume 2. That honor song was entitled White Buffalo. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. In our studio today is my Lakota friend, Robert Graygrass. Robert is a theater artist, playwright, storyteller, and wellness counselor. He is here in Pahiokee, what's now called Southwest Florida Everglades region, traditional Seminole Miccosukee Indian country. He is performing his exceptional play, Walking on Turtle Island, at the Regional Folds Theater. The other evening, Benny and I had the honor to attend his presentation. I encourage everyone to see Robert's performances wherever you can. His fine website, www.robertgraygrass.org, will inform you of his theater and workshop schedules, as well as his storytelling programs and wellness sessions. Again, for more information on Robert's schedules and programs, visit his website, www.robertgraygrass.org. Robert, another subject I want to bring up is the issue of racism towards Native peoples in the form of derogatory names and stereotypes. Earlier, this was prevalent in the movies, and unfortunately, it still continues with sports team names and mascots, geographic place names, and even the names of commercial products after our Indian people, such as Crazy Horse Beer, automobiles, or video games like Custer's Last Revenge. The list is endless. I'm glad that there are now a few films and TV movies that are depicting Indians in a more accurate way. However, racism still pervades many of the images of Native life, or keeps us in the historic past. To many of us in Indian country, this is very disrespectful. Sir, what are your thoughts on this topic?
So I'm really excited when I look at Indian artists today, especially in film and books, literature. There's a big push to just show contemporary Native stories. That one on TV, Dreamkeeper, a few weeks ago. Skins, that Tony Hillerman series that they're doing on TV. Those things are great because they're showing Indian people as still Indian people in this modern time. As the rest of the world grows up and becomes more adult around their view of Indian people, once they catch up with us, they will probably begin to see the unimportance of having the Washington Redskins or the Tomahawk Chop or the Treaty Beer, Crazy Horse Malt Liquor, those kind of painful things, Squaw Rock, Squaw Lake, Squaw Valley, that stuff's got to go. Because if we had, if there was White Bitch River or Wrinkled Old White Lady Mountain, they wouldn't stand for it, you know? If they had Nick Pass, you know, for Irish people, or
have a priest come out in the football game at halftime, do a blessing ceremony as a joke.
Yeah, as a joke, right, for their Catholicism, they wouldn't do those things. So I hope those things will be, I think that's connected to what I said earlier about the spiritual evolution that's taking place amongst human beings. I hope that will grow so that we can say to them, hey, that hurts, don't do that, and they'll understand. And I think about all the names, there's so many great other names, you know, for titles that are more vicious than being the Redskins. You know, if you want a football team, that's a pretty rowdy, vicious game, man. Call them the Grizzlies, call them the... I don't know, the tidal waves, the hurricanes, the bobcats, there's the atomic bomb, or you know, there's something else that's even more deadly than just calling them the Redskins. So, and most people don't even know that the term Redskin came from that red ochre earth that the people along the East Coast painted with. That doesn't even apply to people out in the Midwest, Indian people in the Midwest or the Northwest or the Southwest. It's along the East Coast. So. So, yeah, you know, something else, like, I was at this powwow yesterday, and it was white people running around with mock Indian headbands and blue feathers and red feathers, just like silly. It's illegal to paint blackface minstrel show stuff. It's illegal to do that. Because Black America said, you ain't going to do that. We're going to change that. And I think Native America, there are some things like that that need to be put aside, that maybe we can get collective on and offer up some changes.
Yes.
That might lead to that.
Yes.
You are listening to Yatkidichi Native Centers Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Ojibwe Indian who was born on an eclipse of the sun during an eclipse somewhere near the turn of the century in Minnesota. And he's buried on bluffs northwest of Little Falls. And the legend out there, as I heard it told to me by Mike Tonder and his wife Jody, live in Little Falls, is that as long as the grave is not disturbed, no natural disasters will ever harm Little Falls. Apparently some years ago, Interstate 371 came through and the grave somehow was disturbed or molested in some way. 10 days later, as Mike told it, there was a flash flood in Little Falls. Fletcher Creek, mentioned in the chorus, used to flow right through Little Falls. And years before, it had been diverted east into the Mississippi, about 4 miles north of town. It was diverted to give more dry land in the city proper. But when the flood came, the Fletcher Creek jumped its new channel and overflowed the banks and came into the old channel right through town. And of course flooded it really badly. The governor on that day was taking part in some state celebration of some kind and was unable to declare Little Falls a statewide disaster area for 24 hours, during which time a lot of people lost property. And apparently also the National Guard had just passed through that area just recently or as the rain began, and similarly were not able to help. They were gone, and then the disaster started to happen. So in lots of ways, some circumstances combined to make sure that the town was really flooded. The governor being tied up and the troops having just passed through on their way to somewhere else and called this hole in the day. Way out north, Ojibwe land, Minnesota prairie, near the Fletcher and the Platte, near the sun's eclipse, so the legends say, a young brave was born. They called him Hole in the Day. And the sky grew dark, cold rain did fall, and a high wind rose up in Little Falls. And the Fletcher did rise, and the dams give way when they moved the grave of Hole in the Day. Be protected till his grave's disturbed from fire and flood, burning drought, tornado on the plains, was the prophecy of Hole in the Day. And the sky grew dark, cold rain did fall, and a high wind rose up in Little Falls. And the Fletcher did rise, and the dams give way when they move the grave of Hole in the Day. When the interstate came and the grave went down, the Fletcher jumped channel and swept through town. The roads lay buried and the people did pray when they moved the grave of Hole in the Day. Sky grew dark, cold rain did fall, and a high wind rose up in Little Falls, and the Fletcher did rise, and the dams give way, and the dams give way when they moved the grave, they moved the grave of Hole in the Day. And the sky grew dark, cold rain did fall, high wind rose up in Little Falls. The Fletcher did rise, and the dams give way when they move the grave from Hole in the Day.
music from Turtle Island CDs, Contemporary Native American Music. The song we just heard was entitled Lies by Peggy Vermette. We also heard a folk song honoring Anishinaabe warrior Hole in the Day by Jeff Bartley. Hole in the Day's gravesite was disturbed. And we started off our music set with an honor song to our brother Leonard Peltier. That was from Dennis Banks' CD, Still Strong, the Leonard Peltier honoring song for a Native American political prisoner brother. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. Please stay tuned next week. We continue in Program 3, my conversation with Robert Graygrass, a very well-respected actor, storyteller, and wellness counselor. Robert is one of the finest American Indian playwrights. And, of course, Robert's production company, The White Dog Productions, has several acclaimed stage performances, such as Walking on Turtle Island and Ghostlands of an Urban Indian, among others. And I encourage everyone to check out Robert's website in order to find out his schedule of theater productions and wellness programs. We're going to conclude today's program with Brulé, that is Paul LaRoche, off his very fine CD entitled Brulé, We the People, a Tribal Gathering of Music. And the particular song that we will share is entitled Lakota Forever. Until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinan Wantakwasin, to all of our relations.
I think of you, my relatives, and I thank you. I thank you.